edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report, this Friday edition, Good Friday edition, as we're joined by L.A. Marzulli. His website is lamarzulli.net, and he's coming on to talk about the latest in the Watchmen Chronicles series. And folks, L.A.'s doing a special for listeners of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Go to HagmanReport.com. On the right-hand side, if you scroll down a little bit, you'll see the banner ad for the Watchmen Chronicles. Actually, it's bigger than a banner ad. And there, how much did you say that? 40% off? It's discounted for Hagman.
It's a special for Hagman listeners.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic, actually. It's one, I think it's his best work ever. And how he described it, too, early on. I got to tell you, LA, it makes it come alive. That CGI edition, that's a Hollywood production. I mean, really. It really is. So, kudos to you on that.
Thank you. Wesley did a good job. One quick correction. Acceleration Radio is now on KGRA on Tuesday night, 6 o'clock. KGRA, Tuesday night, 6 o'clock. I got to change it on the website. Sorry, guys.
No problem.
Okay, KGRA. Okay.
And again, folks, if you go to HagmanReport.com on the right-hand side, the Watchmen Chronicles is there. If you click on that, you can, or if you access it from LA's site, you can see a trailer for the latest in the Watchmen Chronicles series. And the special is buy one DVD at $19.99 and get the second one half off.
Give it to your pastor.
Or your friend, absolutely. And LA, thank you so much for putting that special together for our listeners. Let's get back to the Amazon pants
story. Yeah, I got to hear this, brother.
Yeah, it gets really weird. now, this is where it gets strange. I received a call back almost immediately from a person saying they were a second-tier customer support from Amazon. The number was unlisted, but the name Amazon came up. I was told by a man that I will have the current shipment picked up and a suitable replacement delivered. As we said before the break, no one does that. Before I could ask who was picking them up and when, they hung up. I called Amazon, and they had no record of the call. Around 8:30 that night, I got a knock on the door, and two men claiming they were from Amazon were standing there. Both of them were very tall.
Tommy Lee Jones and who else? Yeah, go on.
Yeah, both of them were very tall, close to 7 feet. They had no facial hair and were bald. They had a very musty odor, like a wet dog. And they spoke in unison, finishing each other's sentences. My dog went crazy. I had to put her in her crate. These men had a clear plastic bag with the correct size pants and asked for the wrong ones back in exchange. I was leery, but in somewhat of a rush, as I was packing for a trip and leaving in a few hours. I didn't question them much because they had known about the size and that they had a replacement. Then he goes, the difference in the size of the pants. As I reached a third-party company for future direct purchases, they disappeared from Amazon's website completely. When I called Amazon to look at my order history, I found the company I purchased these from changes their name every so often. And he goes on from there. Now, I spoke to this guy, and I basically, he told me two things since this incident happened. He said that their skin was almost translucent, and they arrived in a four-door black sedan. They were wearing black hats like a fedora. These were essentially, in my opinion, men in black. They were not human. They were hybrid entities, in my opinion. Since this experience, his iPhone was hacked into. He took it to get fixed. They said, well, your SIM card is completely erased. Did you change your SIM card? He goes, no. He goes, well, all his contacts gone. Same thing with his iPad. All information completely wiped out. So I told him, and you know, we need to pray for this guy. We'll just call him George, because he needs to remain anonymous. But I said, look, you stumbled into something that you shouldn't. And what you need to do, is call a family member that you know and trust, and tell your story to the family member, and let them know in no uncertain terms that if something happens to you, like suicide, you didn't do it. That's what you need to do. because this is like veiled threats. They're messing with the guy's phone. They erased all his... He stumbled into something. And the fact that these pants were probably for someone 9 or 10 feet tall, do with that what you will. That's how far down the rabbit hole we are.
Okay, LA, now, let me ask this. And I know, but let's speculate here. What in the heck would Amazon be doing with... Okay, I'm trying to think in what situation a company... I suppose third-party vendors, right? I'm trying to think this through, how Amazon would ship that out by accident. Why? Under what circumstances? But I guess you have third parties that fulfill orders, right? I guess that's the answer.
It was a third party that fulfilled the order, and this third party wound up sending these two clowns to this guy's house.
Wow.
And, you know, the dog freaks out, musty odor, no facial hair. They talk in unison. I mean, come on. You know, they're very tall, almost 7 feet tall. I mean, you know, this is, look, if it's just one story like this, then, you know, we dismiss it. But even in the film, we talk about people that have had encounters with entities, with orbs, and, you know, with this shaped craft, missing time. I mean, it's very, very, very unsettling. And again, getting back to the reason why I made the film was to try to get people to discuss it, to talk about it, to understand that we're living in a period of time that this stuff is manifesting in ways that none of us would ever have imagined, like 20, 25 years ago. And the stuff that comes across my desk on a daily basis, because I've given out my email address, and I'm saying, if you have a story, if you've got pictures, please send them. And it's becoming like a little UFO hub here, with everything from encounters. I saw a disc to I've been taken multiple times. I've got missing time. I think I have an implant. I mean, it's all across the board. So I think the film, in their own words, The Watchmen Chronicles, I think is timely. Obviously, if one landed tomorrow or just showed up like in the New York skyline that you guys have behind you, that's a game changer. And I mean, I just try to flail my arms and warn the church and people at large that it is coming. It's not a question of if; it's just a question of when.
Okay. Does this help me out here, LA? Because I'm not sure. You're the expert in this, but we're seeing a lot of weird stuff go on in Antarctica. Is this related to what you're talking about? Could what's going on in Antarctica be this related to disclosure, UFO activity, or do we know?
I am trying to vet Antarctica as best I can. The problem is, I've had people that have emailed me, but there's no way to vet anything.
Right.
And that's the problem. And having been fooled by the ferry in Watchers 10, and the moment we found out it was a confabulation, we went on the record, we created a free DVD, and you can go to my Vimeo account, LA Marzulli, and watch The Anatomy of a Hoax for free and see how we discovered what it was. But it fooled three veterinarians and DNA guys and everybody else in Mexico and up here until we got the creature here in America and we were able to take it apart. So that has made me, not that I wasn't a skeptic before, because even, it's in the book Nephilim Hybrids, I state in writing in the book, more testing needs to be done on this creature. But as of now, we think it's real. It's in black and white. So, right. You know, I mean, it's like, as an investigator, as a journalist, as a filmmaker, I mean, you go with the information, you try to vet things as much as possible. And then there comes a time where you just go, well, we've got, you know, people are saying it's real. Here are the x-rays. It all looks copacetic. Let's go with it, which is what we did.
Right.
This is a little different because... And let me dispel a couple of facts. You know, it's circulating that you can't go to Antarctica. You can go to Antarctica. There are planes that will take you there. There are ships that will take you there. In the summer, you can go to Antarctica. You can go there. So the fact that it's like it's somehow off limits is just a bunch of nonsense. What we do know is the Nazis were very interested in the Schwabenland. That's a matter of historical record. After that, everything is up for grabs. For instance, the one story that was circulating with Patriarch Kirill and the so-called Ark of Gabriel. That's all fake news. That comes from a site called Sorka Fall. WhatDoesItMean.com. WhatDoesItMean.com, Sorka Fall. And this guy, whoever is making it, they write false news constantly. They've done it for years. They'll just make stuff up. And it circulates. And if you don't know what the source is, people can believe it. I actually saw it on Israeli news. I think it was Israeli news. Israeli Daily News or whatever it's called. But the guy was using that story and pointing to that this is, you know, what's going on in Antarctica. And I wrote him, and on my show, I came out and said, I looked at the story. I went back to the source of the story. It is Sorka Fall, and it's a complete and utter ruse. It's a confabulation. It's a canard. It may be based on some truth, but for the most part, it's false. So we get all this information coming out of Antarctica. I'm intrigued by it because we've got the Peary Reese map, and which shows Antarctica unfrozen. How is that possible? We see the landmass. So, and that is allegedly an ancient map. Is it possible during the flood that there was a pole shift and that the fallen angels are buried there in ice? And that gets into the whole Enochian literature. And I get that. There's a lot going on here. But before I take that leap, I need information. So I've got, like I said earlier, I've got a private eye who's doing some investigation. We're trying to come in the back door with it. And I won't disclose what we're trying to do to get facts, but we're trying to get facts on it, and find out more about Admiral Byrd, more about the diary, all that kind of stuff. So that's the approach that we're taking. And we'll see what turns up.
All right. Interesting. Wow. Yeah, there's that's one thing. Secondhand information, whether you're talking about the creature in that jar, and look, I understand you didn't. I mean, when you got it, you had it tested, and of course, that's when everything was disclosed. So, to me, you did you handled that very responsibly.
Thank you.
And this South Pole, the Antarctica thing. Yeah, we need some first-hand authenticated information. Man, there's a lot of weird stuff. I can't explain why people like John Kerry and others have gone down there. I mean, I don't know.
It's bizarre. Yeah. Very, very strange.
Yeah, exactly. Strange. And it does warrant further investigation. So I can't wait for further updates on that from you as well, Joe.
Yeah, and the Antarctica thing really gets me, you know, when you had the mixture of heads of state, former astronauts, you know, military personnel, and then you have a cap on any information that comes, it's very concerning. And obviously, if you're like me, your first instinct is wanting to know what's going on down there, wanting to know exactly what's going on down there, and have sources, you know, telling you. But it's very tight-lipped, and there's not leaks of information coming there. The only thing you see is misinformation and false reports by people trying to create stories out of it.
Right.
I'm going to ask you a question that we had asked to us just the other day via social media. Do you think we'll see disclosure soon?
Basically, I think it's a matter of, like I said earlier, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. In the film, in their own words, Paul McGuire. And you guys know Paul. He's on the conference circuit, same circuit that we're all on.
Mm-hmm.
So we know Paul. We see him a lot. Great guy, real smart guy. And it's just a wonderful interview I did with him and at the Koinonia House conference in October. That's when I started making the film. And it was just amazing. Paul comes on the record and he basically talks about the idea that there's going to be disclosure soon. I mean, he just comes right out and says it. And he actually says this year or next year. He's pointing at 2017 as the year in which they, the powers that be, will disclose. So, I mean, it can happen a whole... This is what's so interesting. It's like this is a very complex subject. Here's some scenarios. And I talked about we go up, they show up type thing. That scenario is still applicable. But again, it's even more complex because if, let's say Trump or with a bunch of people from the United Nations stand up and say, and they have pictures, and they stand up and go, it's time to disclose what we have known for decades. These entities are friendly. They are here to help us, and they, here are their ships, and at some point in the near future, they're going to show up. That's, if the church is still here, enormous game changer. Enormous game changer. So, you know, the rapture hasn't happened at this point, and now we have soft disclosure, where the governments of the world are telling us that the UFO phenomenon is real. They're not backing off. They're not doing the weather balloon story that they've done for decades with Roswell. They're coming out and telling us. And who knows? Maybe they would show us. If that happens, that's the major game changer. But see, we don't know. And, you know, people of UFO literature, specifically from the New Agers, have talked about this for decades. The idea that they would come, but before they would show up, they would take the people who aren't ready for this new paradigm shift off the planet. So they're already, am I making this up? That's what the other side of the aisle, that's what the New Agers have said for decades. Before I was a Christian, I remember hearing this from a friend of mine. I mean, verbatim what I'm telling you, and that's like, you know, 40 years ago, literally. The same thing. That, well, before they really show up, they're going to take the undesirables off. You know, those people who are fundamentalists and they just wouldn't be able to deal with this new paradigm shift. I mean, that's what I was told 40 years ago. And that has not gone away. That has not gone away. So, I mean, we're being set up for something. Paul comes on the record, and other people, Pastor Billy Crone, you guys know here too. He's a regular, you know, again, on the circuit. Billy comes on the record and talks about disclosure. Same thing. I mean, we've got a myriad of people that come on the record talking about disclosure. Gary Stearman does the same thing. Gary comes on and talks about it. So it's there's a myriad of people, there's a group of people that come on the record in their own words and trying to warn the church, people from pastors to smart guys like Paul McGuire to, I think, one of the smartest men on the planet today, Gary Stearman, who comes on the record. All are saying that church needs to begin to talk about this. We need an open dialogue. That's the purpose of the film. You know, guys, what do you do when 30% of the people in the audience raise their hand? You know, and I did it again at Hear the Watchman. You know, when I, at Dallas just a couple of weeks ago, I said, look, this is, you know, I've already done the film because I was talking about the film. And I said, you know, because that was my presentation, Prince of the Power of the Air. And I said, you know, how many of you have seen a craft, UFO, blah, blah, blah? Easily 30% of the people in that audience. I just went, oh my gosh. Well, I said, look around. Keep your hands up and look around. So we need to talk about it. Why? Because the church has the answers. We have the answers. God sends them strong delusion because they did not believe the truth. What is the truth? Which is completely in contradiction to the Darwinian paradigm. We are told that in the beginning was the Word, Jesus, and the Word was with God. He was with God from the beginning. All things were made by and through Him, and nothing that was made was not made without Him. Period. End of story. So we can believe that mythos of the Christian religion, which of course to me and you, it is not, you and me, it is not mythos. It is truth. It is real truth, not fake news. It is real truth. Or we can believe the fuzzy Darwinian paradigm nonsense that we were just seated here by a race of extraterrestrials. God sends them strong delusion because they did not believe the truth. We are in that window where people have walked away from the truth and are embracing the lie of Darwinism.
You know, Ellie, I agree 100%. And I'd like to just take this one step further. And this is something that I've been researching myself and talking with others about, that there will be scientific evidence that, how can I put this, that's without having to talk for 5 minutes. I guess there will be scientific evidence, DNA evidence, that will prove the lineage of Jesus Christ, which is going to be false, but it's going to be based on supposed scientifically verified DNA evidence. And that lineage is going to point to or identify, supposedly, the Antichrist, or the one world, the leader of the one world order. Now, there might be variations to that. I'm not saying that this is definitive. But in turn, the people, or that, like, for example, the Vatican and others are going to say, well, your savior, in quotation marks, the false savior, of course, or the false, not Jesus, but been for implying that it would be Jesus. The lineage of Jesus has been with you this entire time. Now, again, I'm just taking a very complex set of circumstances and just kind of smushing it all together. But I guess the reason I'm saying this is because what we're going to be seeing and given is the DNA is going to prove through the blood DNA that our leader is actually a god. I saw a small g. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. This is part of the coming great deception. This is what they're going, how they're going to couch it. Which, look, this is what amazes me. It's right there in black and white in our Bibles, and yet we don't really believe what we read. Well, the book of Revelation, that really doesn't concern me. You know, I got a mortgage to pay and kids to raise up money to get them through college, blah, blah, blah. And so we don't really believe. And when was the last time you sat in a church that actually talked about the book of Revelation? Hardly ever. It just never, ever happens. Certain denominations, you can sit there to the day you die, they'll never crack that book. And yet that book holds the key. It holds the secret. And here's the deal. We know from the book of Revelation and elsewhere, like the book of Daniel, that in the time of the end, there's going to be a one world government, one world religious system. But that begs the question, how do we amalgamate these religions? How do we amalgamate 1.8 billion Christians, 1.5 billion Muslims, a billion Hindus or whatever it is, and everybody else out? How's that going to work? And there is a way to make that work. When they show up and you say, well, this is just an impossible scenario. I have talked to abductees in my, 30 years of researching this since before 1990 and doing it and talking and researching people and talking to abductees. Abductees have told me that they have been aboard craft and they have seen what appears to be holographic film of the Greys resurrecting Jesus. It's already there. Real. They've seen that. They've seen that, according to certain abductees, that they were shown a film where Jesus is in the tomb and a spaceship lands, the Greys come out and they resurrect him.
Wow.
There's also a shot of him on the cross. Like, but all this is like, it's all confabulation. There's no way for me to vet that or prove that. But can you imagine if they had that and they show up and they start showing that and they show that Muhammad received the Quran not from Angel Gabriel, from a UFO, right? All that stuff is from a UFO. And Krishna was actually from a UFO. What's interesting is there's a guy on the planet today called Claude Vorlahorn. And he calls himself Rael, the Raelians. And there are thousands and thousands of people who are into this cult. Claude Vorlahorn, before he changed his name to Rael, was taken aboard a craft in the 60s. And he was told that the Elohim were his father. And that his father, the God that he met, was the same father of Jesus Christ, and they were brothers. I'm not making this stuff up. You can go online and, you can just Google Raelians and Rael and up it will come. So isn't it interesting that this mythos is everywhere in ufology, where they come millions of miles to tell us that Jesus really wasn't Messiah, that he really wasn't the Savior. We'll show you who it is. That's the level of deception. And of course you back that up with craft and holographic film. And if you're not born again and spirit filled, what does it say? Why would Jesus warn us? Even the elect would be deceived if that were possible. So, folks, go on, Marzullo, he's a fear mongerer. Take that what you will, folks. Just take it, and all I'm doing as a watchman, that's why we call it the Watchman singular, Watchman Chronicles. That's what it is. All I'm doing is going out, spending time, energy, resources, endless hours of interviews, and endless hours in the edit bag. And I'm doing all the editing now, by the way, because I have to for the content. And all I'm doing is waving my arms and saying something's about to happen. You need to wake up. We need to wake up. If you heed the warning, great. The blood's not on me because I've told you what's coming. If I don't say what's coming, then I'm not doing my job. And this was a position when I first came to the Lord 37 years ago. I never would have asked for this. You don't volunteer for this. You're raised up to it. And sometimes when you're in the process of being raised up, you don't even realize what the end game is. It's like, wait a minute, how did I get here type of thing? But that's right. That's what he does, and here I am. And so are you.
And yeah, exactly. We could not certainly have done this on our own. And I know many people question if we can still do it as we're doing it. But that said, two things I wanted to mention. The Sabud cult, you had mentioned a couple of different non-monotheistic religions or polytheistic religions. However, the Sabud cult, I would like to add in there as well, because that has relevance to Obama and his origins. I know it's, folks, I know it's a stretch, but there's folks, there are ties to Sabud and the very doctrine that is being spoken about by L.A. Marzulli, our guest. Now, the other thing, too, I just find it interesting with all of the current events, the three world wars that we were told were going to happen, the confluence of events. Man, I'll tell you what, I think we are ready right now to see at any time. And when I say ready now, it could be a couple of years from now, but this era, I think this is the time. And that, which brings me to the question too, the Vatican. The Vatican changing popes midstream a couple of years ago. Never, you hadn't seen that in modern times.
Yeah.
So how do, I mean, with everything that you're seeing, we're seeing, there's something about ready to take place that's just going to change everything, as you say. Yeah.
And if it is UFO disclosure and it's just they don't show the craft, but they show pictures, and the leaders of the world come up and say it. That would be soft disclosure, or more like hard disclosure. But still, it's not like they haven't shown up yet. So it's a step, and I think that would certainly shake up everything. That shakes up everything.
Yeah.
So you know, the fact that Fox News is throwing these stories about once every 4 to 6 months now. That to me is very telling. You know, why are they going out of their way to tell us this? Why do they insist on telling us that UFO sightings have reached an all-time high? No one cares, Doug and Joe. Nobody cares. And even within the church, nobody cares. I won't say that. Very few people really care. And that's why we are, in my opinion, the Laodicean church. Fat and happy and basically asleep. But not all the people are asleep. Your people who listen to your show are wide awake, obviously, and they're getting this stuff and they're dealing with it and understanding that something's about to happen on this planet. The people that go to my YouTube channel, 55,000 strong and growing, same thing. They go there because they know something is up. I want to read you. This just came in. L.A. We just brought over the new Watchmen Chronicles and we just finished it. We loved it. You definitely got to show your Korean side right down in your CD music at the end. You're always saying bully for McDonald. Well, I'm saying bully for you. And then this is another person, Tari. Thank you so much for what you accomplished with this latest DVD. I've got all your Watchers DVDs and I'm excited for this new series. The church needs to wake up. So thank you for your voice in this critical hour. Great contact, great graphics, great message, and loved how personal it was, especially toward the end. I mean, we're getting this feedback from people who are watching the show, The Watchmen Chronicles. In their own words, UFOs are real. I'm not making this stuff up. So, you know, the critics, the people are watching it. They're loving it, and they're giving it to people and showing it around, and that's what it's about.
LA, I see in the show notes here that you have some new information on Roswell.
This is, I don't really have time to get into that. Are we doing a break at the bottom of the hour or no?
No, we're good until, 57 minutes when we're done with the show.
So here's the deal with Roswell. And it's all the Lord, how things come across my desk. It's unbelievable. So this woman calls, Pastor Paul Bagley a while ago, and she had this little collection of stone carved heads. One of them was elongated. So Pastor Paul goes, oh, you want to call L.A. Marzulli? you know, he might be interested in this. So she calls me, and I am interested in this. One thing leads to another. And, you know, I tell her that, thank you, I will purchase it, and we did purchase it. And this woman, her name is Carolyn, and her husband's name is Jim. Jim's a pastor. So Jim and Carolyn come on the record in their own words. But the reason, the connection was this. In contacting her, she informed me that what she does for a living is she goes into end-of-life situations with people, and she begins to sell off their estate and use that cash for end-of-life support, doctors, medical bills, what have you. Begins to liquidate it so the onus isn't on the family. And so in the course of our conversation with the elongated skull figurines, she was telling me about this one client that she had by the name of Colonel Hill, Colonel Jesse Hill. And this man died in 1990 or 1992, I think, at the age of 90 years old. This was essentially was a deathbed confession. And she told me the story over the phone, and I said, you know, Carolyn, I will be in Dallas to interview John B. Wells, who comes in on the film, by the way. Great interview with John B. And we'll shoot over from to where you live, because it's only a puddle jump flight, which was what we did. So I interviewed Jim and Carolyn. They come on the record in their own words, the Watchman Chronicles. And what's amazing about this, and you guys, I've already stated this, so when witnesses come on the record, they look right at the camera, and Jim goes, the testimony you're about to hear is true. Looks right at the camera, guy's a pastor, and she begins to tell the story. And once again, Wesley San Giorgi brings some of this to life. He just does a wonderful job. And in the beginning, our voiceover guy, Bill Myers, has done a lot of voiceover work. He was the voice of Jesus, actually, for Zondervan. So he's done a lot of voiceover work. He's also a published author. He's written like over 100 books, many of them children's books, but he also writes adult novels. And he's also been in like 10 films himself. So he and I have been friends for like years. And so he's got a great voice. Bill does a narration for the whole film. So while Bill is talking, narrating the whole Roswell, I'm showing all these like pictures of all the different books and some of the Roswell lore and the literature and pictures of Dr. Jesse Marcel Jr. and Jesse Marcel Sr., who was there at the crash site, the weather balloons, just the paper clipping show, you know, UFO, Army gets the crash dish. All this is like, so there's a whole montage which happens very quick. And then we come up to Jim and Carolyn in the film. And Carolyn starts the story. And she was with Colonel Hill for about 2 years. She saw him daily, and they got to be very close. And so she says, one day, she asked him, well, what about Roswell? Now, Colonel Hill was OSS. He was an interrogator in World War II. He had 4 degrees. I forget what they are, but I know one of them was philosophy, religion, psychiatry, and I forget the other one. So he had 4 degrees. Highly educated, very intelligent man, OSS, forerunner of the CIA, was an interrogator in World War II. Pretty much a lifer military guy. And so she gets to know him, and she's curious about Roswell, just like we all are. And knowing this guy's background, at one point she says, what about Roswell? And this is a month before he died. So he's already very weak, sitting in a chair. She asks him this question. His head drops like this. And he thinks about it for a second. He lifts his head up and he says, what about it? And she asked him, was it a weather balloon or something else? And that's when the story takes off. And he tells her it wasn't a weather balloon. What crashed in the desert was not a weather balloon. Colonel Hill was stationed at Dallas-Fort Worth when the crash happened. And he was flown from Dallas-Fort Worth to Roswell, New Mexico, within 24 hours, 48 hours of the crash, or when the Army retrieved it. At this point, he said that there were two bodies that he had contact with. One of them was already deceased. The other was still alive, and they were trying to work on it to keep it alive. Colonel Hill, because he was an interrogator, attempted to communicate with this entity, but allegedly, according to Carolyn, was unsuccessful. was not able to communicate with this thing. He also stated, and this goes right along with the record that we've heard for years, that the wreckage and everything else was shipped off to Wright-Patterson in Ohio. Surprise, surprise, surprise. So Hill died a month after that. And Carolyn comes, I mean, it's an amazing testimony. And she comes on the record, because I challenge her and I go, well, you know, how you know this guy was, you know, and she looks right at the camera, she goes, Colonel Hill was military, like that. You know, it's like, he was military. And then Jim goes, we knew him, and he wasn't the type of guy who would create a prank or a canard. So both of them are like, they're putting their integrity on the line to back him up. And they state that the man was honest, intelligent, and it was a deathbed confession. So she asks him, he says, well, what was the one of the attributes of these entities which differentiated it from a human being? Now, they were small of stature, like under 5 feet, 4 foot something, so they're about this high on me, small, right, because I'm 6 feet, so they're about like this, long arms, thin bodies, very large head, dark eyes, essentially the grays. That's what's there. And that's a 3-hour conversation as to why the crash happened. Go to David Flynn's site. Just Google David Flynn, and what the paper that you want to get for that would be the Mount Hermon Roswell connection. That's, and he's no longer with us. David passed away a number of years ago. It's just an incredible paper that he wrote about the Roswell Mount Hermon connection, because there is a connection. And I remember after reading the paper, it finally brought me across the line, and I realized the crash was deliberate. The crash was deliberate. And David Flynn posited that here is Mount Hermon over in the Middle East. When you travel to the opposite side of the globe on that same parallel, you wind up in Roswell, New Mexico. The opposite side of the globe, you wind up in Roswell, New Mexico. That's not a coink-a-dink. It's not a coink-a-dink. It's deliberate. So the crash was deliberate, and David Flynn also believed, like I do now, that it was deliberate. Because the grays are automatons. They are basically avatars. The demons inhabit these avatars, and that's how they move around in this dimension. Without that, they can't manifest. A demon is not a fallen angel. A demon is the disembodied spirits of the Nephilim. And in order for them to manifest in our dimension, they need something to inhabit. And that's what they do. Satan has created these avatars, in my opinion, which is why they all look alike, and they're all like jerky motions, and they're devoid of emotion as we know it. Okay, so she asked this question: what differentiates these aliens or entities from human beings? And he hung his head again and lifted it up and held his hand up and said, they had 6 fingers, not 5. They had 6 fingers, not 5. And then she also states that they were wearing some sort of a suit, which we've heard. Everything in her testimony jibes with everything that we've heard for decades regarding Roswell. It does. Everything jibes in her story. So, once again, it's a deathbed confession. And this is what I mean, Doug and Joe. I mean, there's so much information out there. The fact that I can come on your show and discuss it is incredible. And the reason why we can is because they know that most people really don't care. In the 90s, I wouldn't, more than likely, I would be taken out. You couldn't talk about this stuff in the 90s. But they realize, so what? Somewhere's always a whistleblower. He's talking to people on underground bases, people with deathbed confessions. How many people are listening to him? 55,000 on YouTube, right? Out of how many million of people in America? Small change. And I am. Nobody cares. Now, if those numbers escalate to 3 or 4 million, I'm sure I'll get a knock on the door. I'm sure I will. Just like, you know, Pastor Paul was, you're on the list, I'm on the list, Stearman's on the list, Dizdar's on the list, Hannity's on the list, Savage is on the list. I get that. I was approached in Dallas and I had 2 veiled threats, which I told you about at the top of the show. So, okay, I get it. Colonel Hill did not exaggerate. It was a deathbed confession. Jim and Carolyn are forthright. They're pastors. They have a ministry. And I went with it because I believe their story. And it corroborates almost everything we've heard coming out of Roswell. So could disclosure be this year? Heck yeah. And that's alarming. That's alarming.
It is. In the show notes, this is the first time I've seen this phrase. You talk about UFO brain fog. Can you get into this a little bit? I mean, I see what it means, but I'd like to hear what your experience with this is, and I'm not going to spoil any of this, so go ahead.
UFO brain fog, look, when you edit film, it's hours and hours and hours. People don't understand that. You've got all this stuff, all this film, all these interviews. Now I have to tell a story. And, you know, thanks to Richard Shaw, because he gave me a lot of tutorials for the last year. So I did like 26 half-hour shows for television. So I learned Final Cut Pro. Am I an expert? No. But I learned, and this was my first standalone film. So I did the editing. And as you watch clips over and over and over again, as I began to put clips together and tell the story and select the music and just move the story along, because I've written 3 novels, I've written 11 books, so it's all the same thing. We're trying to tell a story. So my medium now is film. It's not just, you know, the one dimensionality of a novel, let's say. It's film. So in the course of doing this, I'm watching these guys and listening to a story over and over and over again, and it dawns on me something which I've labeled UFO brain fog. The one story is this guy comes on the record. His name is also Al Witherspoon. He's driving across Kansas. His brother's asleep in the back. His sister-in-law is in the passenger seat. They're driving across Kansas. In the distance, it's at night, like midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. There's this orange orb. It's like the sun, but it's not emanating light. And it's there, and they're watching it and watching it and watching it. All of a sudden, this thing comes in like this. Wow! And it's like right next to the car. Okay? Right next to the car. The brother in the back seat wakes up. They all look at it. They look at it. No one says a word. They look at it. Then he says, after the orb left, we just concentrated on our driving. Is that normal reaction? Of course not. No one would do it. If the three of us were in that car and an orb came across, first thing we'd be doing is going, oh my gosh, what is it? We'd be freaked. All three of these people are looking at the orb. No one is saying anything. And then when the orb leaves, they just concentrate on driving. Are you kidding me? This is why I rebuke first, ask questions later. The second one is a woman who, it's years ago, there's a dance, they've got one big car, big station wagon, they've got 12 girls in the car, okay? It's packed with girls. They're taking these girls home. They've dropped off 6 remain, all right? And it's a really fascinating story. They see something over the tree line, and they pull over, and they all get out of the car to look. And it's a disc, it's a UFO. And they freak out, and they get back in the car. And she says to her sister who's driving, let's get out of here. Let's get out of here. Then she says this. We were speeding, but we weren't going anywhere. We were speeding, but we weren't going there. Doug and Joe, this is decades after the experience. Decades. And she's still stuck trying to piece together what happened. We were speeding, but we weren't going anywhere. When they arrive at the house to drop off the girls, the mother comes out and she's irate. Irate. Why? 3 hours of missing time.
Mm.
3 hours of missing time.
Wow.
The brain fog is, we're speeding, but we didn't go anywhere. The brain fog is, we looked at the orb. When the orb came next to the car, we looked at it, but we didn't say anything. And after it left, we just concentrated on our driving. Completely irrational. Totally irrational. Which is why, one, we don't entertain it. Two, if we see anything, immediately rebuke him in the name of Jesus. Rebuke first, ask questions later. That's what we've got to do.
Yeah, and I think that should be every Christian's SOP. I mean, it should be SOP for everybody.
Standard operating procedure for those of you who don't know.
Exactly. And your 45 will come in handy maybe later, but you better, you better start rebuking and invoking the name of our Lord and Savior, on this, especially, prescient, as we approach this resurrection, celebration of the resurrection among Christians. Wow. LA, you've taken us within 10 minutes of the end of the program. Your Watchman series, absolutely imperative to get. Any closing comments here? Anything you want to promote in terms of appearances, events, anything at all? You've got the floor. Basically, you can take us out.
Well, thank you. I will be in May 19th with Russ Dizdar and Coach Devenmeyer. In Ohio for the conference there. And then, of course, the Steve Quayle Peru trip is completely sold out. There are no spaces. And then I'm going to some undisclosed locations, specifically in July when we get back from Peru. And I'll be filming there for the next installment in the Hear the Watchman Chronicles. I'm excited about it. It's sort of the new series. And I would just encourage people to get, buy from you. Don't go to my website. Buy from Hagman and Harron. Go to your site, because we have a deal with Hagman, and they're reaping part of the proceeds, which is what it's all about. You know, it helps them do what they do. It helps us do what we do here. But the reason why we're selling that second one at half price, we want you to give it to the skeptic, to a deacon, to an elder, to your pastor, to someone in the family who doesn't believe all this stuff. Folks, if you watch this film, it's an hour and 37 minutes long. So it's not like a 45-minute deal. An hour and 37 minutes long. It's a long, involved film. And it takes the viewer through a journey, very slowly to, as you look at the people go, I saw a UFO, I saw a UFO, I saw a UFO. And then you hear their testimonies, the pilot's testimony. Dennis is just incredible because he comes on the record. This guy's like a trained witness. And they saw this UFO, which pays the jetliner for 7 minutes, decades ago. It pays the jetliner. And, I mean, he describes in detail what he saw. So there's only two choices. Everybody in the film is completely certifiable, including me, and you just hold tenaciously onto your little paradigm, and we don't need to talk about this, or you get awakened finally. You get awakened to the reality that this stuff is all around us, and this is only the tip of the iceberg. What is coming is unprecedented. What is coming is unlike, look, Jesus says the elect would be deceived. Men faint from fear for what is coming upon the earth. Unless those days were shortened, no flesh would survive. Paul, Satan comes with all signs and lying wonders. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, are you kidding me? Do you think that this is business as usual? Christians need to wake up and understand that the king has got to be returning at some point, because we are so far down the rabbit hole, as I said in the beginning, in my beginning rant. You can't fix this anymore. Nobody can fix this. Well, that's not true. One man can fix it, and that's the risen Savior Jesus. And that's the whole point of why we celebrate Good Friday and his resurrection on Sunday. I refuse to call it Easter. It's Resurrection Day, Resurrection Sunday, when the Son of God rose up out of that tomb. And folks, if you've never studied the Shroud of Turin, before you dismiss it, again, here's something else. Check out the Shroud of Turin. In my opinion, it's God's calling card. It shows us, the forensics are there, that a crucified man, something happened in that tomb. And the Shroud of Turin bears that out. But I got to tell you, we are in a window of time, and I keep saying this, that's unlike any other. And I honestly believe, look, Satan knows his time is short. Not yet. He hasn't been cast to earth. But at some point he will be. He knows his time is short. Could that be when the revealing happens? It certainly could be. We don't know. All I know is that this cat and mouse game, which has gone on for 70 years since Roswell, and continues, lights in the sky, the craft, oh, it's there, oh, it's not there. Go down to Texas when Ricky Soro, Stevensville Lights. Go to Phoenixville Lights. Ricky Soro's out there with a shotgun. This is all in my book, Further Evidence. By the way, it's out of print. We're completely sold out. We got to print more of them. Soro's sitting there with a shotgun looking at this thing. Mile wide craft. Mile wide craft. He came on the record. I interviewed him numerous times. I had conversation with him. Phoenix Lights, 1997. Now we're into the what? The 20th anniversary of that?
Oh, yeah.
1997, right? Here we go, Phoenix Lights. 20 years later, Fife Simon comes on the record, the former governor of Arizona, stating, hey, I was a governor at the time. I want to apologize to my former constituents by making light of it and the fun of it. I was there, and the craft I saw was not of this world. Folks, you gotta understand that the cat and mouse game that we see, at some point, that cat and mouse game will be over, and they will reveal their presence. And whether the church is here or out of here, I gave you the false rapture scenario, where I've heard this before I was a Christian 40 years ago, where they're gonna take the undesirables off the planet. Because we're not ready for the new paradigm leap. We're not ready for the new consciousness leap.
We're not enlightened.
That they're gonna couch
it. Right. Yeah. Yeah, we're not enlightened. Indeed. Wow. Well, L.A. Marzulli, thank you so very much, man. You are the man. And, give our best to your wife, Peggy, and your family.
I certainly will.
Thank you so much for your gift of time. And it was, there's not a wasted word tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Really appreciate you having me on. Take care.
God bless.
Have a good night.
Wow. Wasn't that great? I mean, that to me, there's more information from L.A. Marzulli than, I don't know. It was just incredible. Before we let go, for our show here on this, Good Friday Resurrection Sunday. Look, as L.A. said, we don't call it East, a reference to Ostera. And people have to understand what that is, but we can still celebrate the resurrection, and that's what we're doing, commemorating the resurrection. But I just want to kind of make an announcement here. I've been getting word throughout the day from various sources. I'm not going to give out my sources, that there's something extremely wrong inside the White House. Now, I'm not saying there's something wrong with Donald Trump. I'm saying there's a war, an internal war that involves the White House. I can't tell you my sources. Dave Hodges has got an article up that I just glanced at it. I can't authenticate it, but I do know that one of the sources talking to me has a direct line to Bannon. Bannon's not long for the White House. And when Bannon goes, others will go as well. Much of what Donald Trump, much of what Donald Trump had campaigned on, we are going to be sorely disappointed. Watch Kushner, his relationship with Soros, and I think that Dr. Ted Brower had disclosed that pretty well. In the meantime, China, the president of China, is saying that war could break out at any moment. Those are his words, the president of China, saying war, in reference to North Korea, could break out at any moment. And a couple of things, I just want to make sure people understand the serious nature of this. This dwarfs, in my view, the Cuban Missile Crisis in terms of its intensity. Anyone remembering the Cuban Missile Crisis, or even remembering their parents' behavior during the Cuban Missile Crisis, will appreciate this. Look, the Chiapet from North Korea knows he cannot win. But he also knows, as we all should know, the war in Korea was never called. There was an armistice. Yeah. You get a ceasefire agreement. We're still at war. Now, North Korea, they know it would be a bloodbath. But he would rather, according to certain sources here, open and otherwise, sacrifice his country and himself, rather than be, betrayed or be made to be the stooge. North Korea has a vast arsenal, everything from primitive nuclear bombs, ballistic missiles, nerve gas, huge cannons, which can hit South Korean cities and U.S. bases. That's the target. To save his own rule, and after the ominous threats emanating from North Korean capital, it would be an unimaginable humiliation for him to back down. So he's not going to, at least that doesn't look like it's going to happen. He's prepared to take North Korea down in a suicide mission, kind of a Samson option for North Korea, with devastating consequences for the region that could involve the United States, our personnel, Seoul, South Korea, and many people in the Korean Peninsula. That's where we're at. Now, this is not me saying this. This is me reporting what sources like the UK Mail, or the Daily Mail from the UK, and other mainstream publications are saying. Kim Jong-un is playing this unpredictable game, and he inherited power back in 2011. So he's been in power, what, 5.5 years, 6 years? It's that dynasty approach, of course. And there is a dangerous, dangerous, dangerous game that's unfolding. Now, is this, for example, is this being provoked by Donald Trump, his position? I don't know. I don't know. Does Donald Trump have control of his military? Is he making the military decisions? If you look at that Moab blast, you may ask yourself, when was that decision to drop that bomb made? It wasn't contemporaneous with the blast or right before that blast. So that begs the question, who's running our military? Which begs the bigger question, who is running our country and our policies, or, you know, the foreign policy? But this is something totally different than we've seen in the past 5 years. And I would not necessarily at all lay this on the lap of Donald Trump. However, I think at this point, I can't speculate what's going on in his mind. I'm not going to make any excuses for him. But the world war, a war, especially in the Korean Peninsula, could break out at any moment. And Pence is going to be in Seoul, South Korea, I guess within the next 12 hours. Is that going to make a difference? I don't know. I don't know. But folks, pray. Pray like never before and prepare. Top off your gas tank, do whatever you need to do. Just make sure you're prepared. It's a good idea to do it anyway. And of course, make sure you're spiritually prepared and ready to go. Right.
We are at the end of our program. Hope everybody has a great holiday weekend. Use the time to spend with your families and friends, and to take a break from the everyday grind, from either the news cycle to your work, just to life. Take a break and enjoy the time with your families. Enjoy the holiday. Enjoy the good food if you have the opportunity to get some of that. And we'll be back here Monday, barring anything major that happens over the weekend. And if something does happen, at the very least, we'll put out some information, whether it be video or in an article format. But we will
notify. We'll be watching. Yeah.
No Dave Hodges this Sunday, as it falls on Easter. So no Common Sense Show for us or for Dave this weekend. So until Monday, stay safe, God bless, and have a great Easter weekend.